I thought that if I did everything you told me I couldn't do, if I ran through all the walls that you told me I'll never get over, that I got to a certain point, you would give me my gold star. So we lose the ability to be able to value ourselves because we put it into the hands of other people who are never going to give it to us. I got 4 degrees. I have all these things. I have all this rank. I'm miserable. I'm single. I'm crazy. I'm tired. My soul is exhausted, and I'm still seeking validation from other people, and I lost the ability to self-validate. So that's the turning point. And when I left and I ran away and resigned, like Tina Turner ran from Ike in that white suit, right? With 3.5 years left to retire. Once I finally got myself back together, what I learned is I wasn't alone. I'm not the only one who do it. High achieving women, we share a lot of the same challenges. So my goal is to solve for X on that problem.
Got it.
And the byproduct is money. Because once you get yourself back together, once you bring yourself back into your household, once you become present with your kids, right? We've saved 20 marriages. Once you come back into your body and now you're able to be very pleasing and intimate with your husband again because you're not fighting with whoever at work. Now God will release to you the next level of financial increase that's been waiting for you. But until you become the person that will be able to manage it, you're not going to get it.
Welcome to another edition of the Social Proof Podcast. We find dope people that do dope stuff. Today's no different. We got Christy Rutherford in here. You lit. Which Christy is coming today? Is it like the professional Christy? Is it knuck if you buck? Is it?
I'm actually all of them. So it depends on how the conversation goes. it's a smooth transition between professionalism, knuck if you buck, professionalism, ratchet. You know what I'm saying?
I love it. So tell me about yourself. Like do it this way.
Okay.
If ideal situation, person A is talking to person B about you.
Okay.
How would you like person A to introduce you to person B? And B doesn't know who you are.
Okay. I would like to be introduced as, one, they're going to say I'm crazy. Right?
is that the theme?
That's one.
Okay.
But crazy is all relative. Right?
For sure.
So crazy as in, you know, my gift is seeing people for the greater version for who they are and not who they are in the moment. So I can see you living in the fullness of your destiny. Regardless if you're operating here, I see you here, which gets me in trouble a lot of times because if I see you only in this and I treat you like this, and then when you act this way, there's a gap. But really, they're going to say, one, you got to have thick skin to be around Christy. Two, don't be in your feelings. And three, she's amazing because she can see you in your full potential.
Got you.
The conflict arises is when I try to get them there or they don't see it.
I'm about to turn this air on because it's a little warm. Is it? Are you warm?
It's a little hot.
A little warm. Okay. We're about to, because I want you to be comfortable. Here we go. Okay.
I ain't had no hot flash. Though,
cool. So professionally, you help women make more money in corporate?
I do, and in their small businesses, but mostly corporate women are the ones that I focus on.
Why?
Because they got my money.
Entrepreneurs don't?
Entrepreneurs have money too, but really the thing about the challenges that women have at work, regardless if they're lawyers, doctors, in the military, strong alpha women are harassed almost to the point where either we're going to fight or we're going to fall into a box and don't get up again. So a lot of women say that they're introverts. They're not introverts. They're just playing small because they don't want to fight anymore. So I want to help women finish the race because I didn't finish the race.
I don't know. Hold on. You said they're not introverts. They're just
playing small.
I don't agree with that.
I do. Well,
so
right.
Here's the thing. So here's the thing. Some people are naturally more introverted where they just prefer not to engage with other humans like that. Yes. But, so I would say that Mark Zuckerberg is an introvert.
Yes.
He doesn't play small at all.
So I'm not saying that introverts play small. Mm-hmm. I'm saying alpha women who have been harassed and who are tired of fighting start to play small and they stop speaking up in meetings and wonder why they're getting overlooked.
Gotcha. So you're saying some of that behavior turns into them saying, oh, I'm an introvert, yes. When really that's not the life you desire.
Yes.
That's not who you are, but life has turned you into... Ooh.
Yeah. So my favorite question to ask is, are you who you are or are you who life made you? Mm. You're not an introvert. Life challenges, being told you're not good enough or men are intimidated by you or everybody at your work hates you, all these other kind of things. They made you an introvert. You've gotten it twisted. You're playing small because you're tired and you don't want to fight anymore. So you just give up and you say, oh, I'm an introvert. No, you're playing small.
So I'm not 100% familiar with kind of like the corporate arena or structure, because I worked as a server most of my adult life. So I'm not familiar with the kind of politics that it takes to get to the next level in corporate. What is that life like?
Regardless of whether you're in corporate, I was in the military, office politics or office politics, but it's the same as a server, because I was a server. I heard you got talked about that, 7 years, right?
Six years at the Cheesecake Factory before I left, but before that, Olive Garden for a year. I worked at Applebee's.
Yeah. So it's really like, how do you say what you need to say, and how do you, in the beginning, make your mannerisms pleasing to the people that you are serving in order for you to yield what you want from them, which is a big tip.
Yes.
After a while, when some women get to certain parts in leadership, they know, they say, accept me as I am, which is who life made them. I no longer want to yield and have a pleasing personality so I can yield from you what I want, which is to raise our promotion. They just don't want to do it. They just check out. They say, I don't want to play office politics. And I'm like, either you're going to play or you're going to be played. The game is being played. Either you're going to play the game or you're getting played. Either you're going to move the pieces on the chessboard or you're going to get moved.
Because you're a piece on the chessboard.
You're a piece on the chessboard.
Wow.
It is what it is. And so a lot of times, see, I'm getting loud now, I get excited.
Talk to me. I need that. Give me that energy.
Women, you can't complain that you're losing if you're not willing to engage in a game that's being played, whether or not you want to play it.
Got it. So, as a server, it's not the same. It's like the aspiration of a server isn't always to be the manager or to kind of go up the ranks. The aspiration is, how can I make as much money as possible? Because as a server, it's like most of us are doing something outside of work.
You know
what I mean?
Yep.
So it's like college students, they come home from college and they pick up a job at the restaurant or whatever. But mentally, where's the abuse coming from in a corporate arena?
You know, it's interesting. First generation women. First gen, we're not prepared for what it's going to take to be able to ascend to the higher levels.
First generation women.
First generation women who went to college. So I'm one of the first people in my family to go to college. Yep. I wasn't ready for corporate. It wasn't corporate, it was military. I wasn't ready to go to an organization where they just straight up say you don't belong here because you're black or because you're a woman and that you're not going to make it. So being at home, right? But here's the thing about fighting. We started fighting long before we got to work, long before we got into the workplace. Typically, we're fighting our families because a lot of women that I work with, we're the high achieving, we're the ambitious, we want to go get it. So you're going to be different. You're going to set yourself apart in that alone. And you understand that, right?
Yeah, for
with
sure.
Even families, it happens with men too. So we're told, I was told in sixth grade, I'll never amount to much. I'm in sixth grade. It's a teacher. Ninth grade. So I'm going to prove you wrong or I'm going to prove you right. I almost proved them right. I'm a comedian. I like to talk. I crack jokes. Does that make sense? Yeah. So I stayed in trouble all the time. But that's my gift that they wanted to shun and judge me for what was naturally my talent. Now I go to college, black college. I love it. South Carolina State. But Chris, you ain't black enough. And I'm like, what does that even mean? Because, you know, light skin, long hair, green eyes. it's a lot. Right. But now I joined the military and now I don't belong there either. So a part of the separation of the fight, I started fighting long before I got there. So now I've learned how to work harder to prove you wrong about me. So now I'm going to work harder. I'm going to get a million degrees. I'm going to work 80 hours a week. And in the military, we wear our resumes on our shirts. So we walk in the room. You already know. You know what I'm looking at when I walk in the room. And I thought that this is probably about 16 years in. I thought that if I worked hard enough, if I got the awards, I got more awards to decorate the Rockefeller Christmas tree. It's a lot. Highly decorated. Wow. I walk in with my rank. You've probably never seen another black officer in the Coast Guard. It's 300 out of 47,000 people. It's 50 black women officers out of 47,000 people. So you've definitely never seen another black woman officer. And I'm high ranking. So I thought that if I did everything you told me I couldn't do, if I ran through all the walls that you told me I'll never get over, that I got to a certain point, you would give me my gold star. So we lose the ability to be able to value ourselves because we put it into the hands of other people who are never going to give it to us. I got 4 degrees. I have all these things. I have all this rank. I'm miserable. I'm single. I'm crazy. I'm tired. My soul is exhausted and I'm still seeking validation from other people. And I lost the ability to self-validate. So that's the turning point. And when I left, and I ran away and resigned, like Tina Turner ran from Ike in that white suit, right? With 3.5 years left to retire. Once I finally got myself back together, what I learned is I wasn't alone. I'm not the only one who do it. High achieving women, we share a lot of the same challenges. So my goal is to solve for X on that problem. And the byproduct is money. Because once you get yourself back together, once you bring yourself back into your household, once you become present with your kids, right? We've saved 20 marriages. Once you come back into your body and now you're able to be very pleasing and intimate with your husband again because you're not fighting with whoever at work. Now God will release to you the next level of financial increase that's been waiting for you. But until you become the person that will be able to manage it, you're not going to get it.
Got it. Now, I do. I can understand some of the challenge in alpha woman. You're an alpha woman, yes? Which is that? Yes? Just define alpha woman before I get into that question.
Yeah, alpha women are just strong women who just survived a lot of stuff.
Okay.
Just strong.
Gotcha. As opposed to what?
You know, so I've seen a lot of these. Actually, I've just heard about it. I've just paid attention to it peripherally. When people judge alpha women, right? And then, so it's alpha and then contrarian.
I
don't judge women for who they are.
What is contrarian?
Contrarian are like the kind of passive, the B types.
Gotcha.
Right?
Gotcha.
Just kind of chill, laid back, not really aggressive.
I got you. Yeah. I got you.
I want to assist women who are just like me. Right. And a lot of people talk about strong women. They talk about us. They don't talk to us because we can't tell people that we're suffering. I made 4 times the amount of money that my family made. I'm the first 6-figure earner in my family. I got 4 degrees. I'm Christy Rutherford. I'm this high achieving officer. I can't tell people that I'm suffering. And if I tell them that I'm suffering, do they hear me or do they hear the brand that I've created? So you got Christy, the military officer, and then you got who's professionally developed, and then you got Christy, the person who left personal development for professional development, and I'm this big. That's the biggest gap that we have to close for.
Goodness gracious. So I can understand how an alpha woman, someone that's like driven, they want to get to the next level, there's it may be intimidated by not only just men, but anybody that's in a higher rank, I suppose, right?
Yep.
What are some of the, like, because you coach a lot of women.
I coach a lot of women.
And you gave, there was a some insane number of raises.
We're at 14 million now.
14 million. Describe that 14 million number from audience.
So we're at $14 million in raises, salary increases, and small business revenue since June 2020.
14 million. Give me an example of someone you helped raise their salary.
Actually, I've took one client from 210 to 635.
We from took 210,000 to 635,000.
Yeah. I took one client from 200.
No, let's stay there. Okay. Let's stay right there. What was this person doing professionally?
She worked in the medical field. She wasn't a doctor though, but like IT, medicine, fintech. I meant health tech.
Okay.
Health technology.
She comes to you with what problem?
She's tired. She is tired of running through a wall. She had interviewed for several positions, but kept getting, she couldn't get through to the other side. She kept getting turned down. She wasn't present with her family. Mm. And she wanted to get promoted. I don't know what's going on with my stuff. Gotcha. So
she wanted to get promoted.
She wanted to get promoted.
What did you fix?
Her house. Her stress first. Self-care, workout, meditate, exercise, sleep. Simple things, right? Of people who take care of themselves. Improve the relationship with your husband. Mm-hmm. Because if, and I'm not going to judge women, but I'm going to say it. Can I say it?
You can say it. Don't be cussing.
Oh, I don't cuss. I want my uncle to see it. So, you know, if a lot of times women aren't at home when they're at home, they're at work. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, and they come home and they complain about their job for 3 hours when they're only really at home for an hour. Even if they're presently in the house for 8 hours, they're not really in the house because they're thinking about work. Mm-hmm. So how can you have a conversation with your spouse about what your goals are or what the family goals are if you're only talking about getting to the next level and who did you wrong today and who you cussed out today? So you're bringing that home, and at a certain point, spouses check out because they don't want to hear that.
100%. Right? I remember my wife, when she was working, she'll come home and say, so-and-so, and he passed up because it's this white girl and I'm black. And I'm like, you know, it's like, I can't relate.
Yeah.
Two, I'm trying to be supportive as a husband, but I don't understand.
But to a certain point.
Correct. And I don't really care.
Yes.
Yeah. If I can say that quietly. Yes. So
for years. So now you're disconnected with everybody in your house and you're only seeking to get a raise. Like, you don't even see the calamities and the SHIT show that is behind you because you're only thinking about getting to the next level and who you're fighting today.
Mm.
So once you come back into yourself, whew, that's one. See, this is release.
Gotcha.
Now you're no longer engaged in these petty battles because they don't matter. And there's always going to be somebody who's going to be petty and is going to piss you off. You choose whether or not you're going to engage into the pettiness and now destroy your peace and your joy again.
Mm.
But once you come back into your body, now you can actually see what's happening in your household that you're completely unaware of. So a lot of times, women are unconscious of what's going on in their surroundings because they're only focused on work.
Wow.
Only. And once they see that, now you can change, but you can't change what you can't see.
That's a fact. That's a fact. So you dig into the household personal development. And as a result of that, they walk in with another confidence. They walk in with higher goals. So what was your outside? Well, when we fixed that, in terms of directly related to getting this raise, Okay. Where do you step in on that part? Listen, if I was going to teach you how to make $1 million, would you give me $10,000? Like, if I had a course teach you how to make $1 million a year positive, you're going to make $1 million. Would you give me $10,000? Of course you would. It's no brainer, right? So in a calendar year, we make seven figures with the podcast. But there's 21 things that I extracted from that that you're going to need to launch a podcast. But I only got time to give you three right now. One is you need a distribution platform. The distribution platform is what you upload your podcast to. That platform sends it to Spotify, Apple, Google Play, so that your supporters can actually listen to your podcast. You're also going to need a microphone. You need a really good microphone so it's crispy audio. And three, you need an income strategy. This is not necessarily a hobby, unless you're going to make it a hobby, but I can teach you how I made the seven figures with these 21 things. Now, the good news is you don't have to give me 10,000. My ebook is only 37 bucks, okay? So listen, go to podcastebook.com and get the 21 things that you need. And I can explain it in detail, all the things that you need, okay? Podcastebook.com. Let's get to the episode.
So once you come back to self, only by taking care of yourself, which is a lot of women won't do. Like, women be like, oh, I'm the last on the list. I'm in the bottom of the totem pole. They will make sure everybody else is taken care of, will not take care of themselves, and then blame everybody else for not allowing them to take care of themselves.
That's real.
That's right? Which is insane. Because men are cool. Like, one of my friends wrote a book because she would be mad that her husband would go work out and she didn't have time to work out. And he was like, that's on you.
She's mad at him because he would go work out, but she's not really mad at him. She hasn't made the time to work out.
Exactly. So women are accustomed to putting ourselves, I would say, because I want to be included in that, but I'm good now, last, and making sure everyone else is a priority but ourselves, but then get bitter because nobody will give you permission to take care of yourself. That's on you. Once you do that and you relax and you become and you stop engaging in petty battles and you know exactly who you are, You show up at work differently.
Yeah.
And once the boss sees that or the leader see that, they'd be like, oh, okay, now you're ready for additional levels of responsibility. Because if you're doing 20 good things,
yep.
Tony doing one right thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You think working harder and getting more degrees is going to get you promoted, but you're not capable of handling additional responsibility because you burning out now. Tony good. He yeah. working 30 hours a week. He going to the basketball games. He playing golf. So these men continue to get promoted while we're the worker bees right. and not the queen bee.
Right.
Once you become the queen bee and you do the one or two right things, boom. Either you're going to get a promotion in the job, which has happened. 70% of my clients don't leave their jobs. Or you start exploring other opportunities and they flow to you. So it's the law of attraction. Once you know what you want.
Wow.
Then you coincidentally get called by a recruiter. They could coincidentally have somebody reach out to them in LinkedIn. They coincidentally, one of their mentors will call them from another organization that used to work for them. That's how it happens.
That is interesting. So it's yeah. not, I imagine you are like going in and say, okay, fill out your resume this way.
No.
When you do the interview, nope. talk like this. You like, yo, get whole.
Yes.
And things happen.
That's it. We don't do resume writing. I don't do LinkedIn writing because your resume is a reflection of how you see yourself. And if you see yourself this big because you're a worker bee, the queen will tell you exactly who she is. But we don't do, it's not about the resumes. It's about how you see yourself and what you're going to ask for. So if you were offered a $200 lobster and a $2 lobster, which one are you going to choose?
200.
Exactly. So if a woman who's valued at $325 or $425 only asks for $85,000, people going to be like this. Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%.
What's wrong with her? Mm-hmm. So then you take this job. You're better than your boss's boss's boss. Now you've created a toxic work environment and you're blaming them for being toxic because you're better than them because you are.
Yeah.
The insanity of it's insane. Right.
So it's pretty much the person that's above you is so small. It's frustrating for a big person in this environment to be managed by smaller people.
But they chose the smaller position.
They chose it. And this is where the frustration comes. And I guess if you don't see it that way, it's an unexplainable frustration.
Unexplainable. I'm like, you're creating it. Like, but once they awaken through self-care, period. Oh, okay. Can I get $475? They'd be like, okay. Just like that. Because it's cheaper to keep you. They know you're valuable. You don't know.
You don't know yet.
You don't know. They know. And they love.
Goodness gracious. Yo, so, as a matter of fact, this might not be related to anything. And it might be the wrong advice. But I'm going to say it, and I want to get your opinion on it. Okay? What I'm saying does not reflect the beliefs of anybody on this show or on the Social Proof Podcast. But this is what he said. He said that a wife should know that at any moment, I'll leave.
Who said that?
I'm not telling you.
Okay.
That.
A person said
but
that.
But he said, yes. And I want to get your perspective. So his thing was saying, my wife is going to know. Now we have a beautiful family. You know, everything's good. But she should know that at any moment, if I don't need this relationship.
Oh.
So what sparked that is what you said when you're walking into your office mm-hmm. with the attitude of, I don't need y'all.
Yes.
So I just want to hear your comment, your like what you're thinking on what this guy said.
When a woman remembers her value, because we lost it somewhere along the way. Mm-hmm. It ain't even about knowing your value. It ain't about discovering who you are. Mm-hmm. You need to remember who you are before life choked you out.
Mm.
Right? Remember who you are before whatever trauma happened in your childhood. Remember who you are before you started getting harassed at work by the men and the women. Right? Once a queen remembers who she is, and puts the crown on that she already possessed. And I'm not saying it's not about being disrespectful, but a queen can stand on her own, and her and the king or queen, right, can rule together. But just because you leave, that does not diminish my shine. I'll be all right.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you take all the money, I'm a queen. I can make money. We're good.
So you agree with that philosophy?
I don't agree with the philosophy. I'm just saying that when a woman remembers how great she is and how powerful she is, really external circumstances don't really move her to be shattered and being wanted to do something that's detrimental to self because of the actions or the behaviors of other people. If you leave, cool. I mean, I might cry. But I'm going to be okay because I know who I am. Mm. And I'm not saying that they won't be heartbroken. And I'm not saying that, you know, whatever the emotions are and the shoulda, woulda, coulda, but a woman who remembers who she is going to be okay.
And that does make sense on two points. One, in a corporate environment, if I'm really good at what I do, they understand that I have value and you need me more than I need you.
If you know that. Most women don't know that. And when you go into an interview, I just take whatever you give me. You know, what you got? Right? They don't like that. Or you're going to get mad because you feel like they're taking advantage of you. But when you walk into an interview, one of my clients recently, we 2.5x her salary at the same job. I told her, don't quit that job.
Goodness
don't quit that job. Because her job wasn't frustrating her. She was miserable.
Right.
My job is making me miserable. No, you miserable.
It's all the stuff before you get to work that's making you miserable.
Yeah, you're miserable. You just show up on Zoom miserable. Does that make sense? No, your job isn't making you miserable. You drive to work miserable and walk in miserable. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Once she became happy and moved to a geographic location that she wanted to be at, everything kind of fell into place. Now she 100% remote, 2.5x her salary. She makes pretty good money. Mm-hmm. Writes her own job description.
Really?
Autonomous. They be like this, what you want to do? How much? She said, I got 3 job offers. They offer me this, this, and this. They was like, what do we need to do to keep you? That's, I want this amount of money. They said, okay. I want to work 100% remote. Okay. And I think we got her up to 385 from 158. Dang. Right. I want to be 100% remote. I want to do what I want to do.
Yeah.
I want to capitalize on my 15 years of experience and my intellectual property and create a whole new product for this organization. Okay. They gave her $100,000 travel budget.
Dang.
And they did something else that I can't talk about, but it's valued at $15 million.
There were some stock options.
They gave her something.
Wow. Can't talk about it.
Then people find out
who simply she is, because she lost the miserable seat.
Yes. And when she became aware of who she was, so I don't have to put up with this. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna go be happy. I'm going to network with other people. Mm-hmm. And that's when you're showing up. People like to be around. Napoleon Hill talks about having a pleasing personality. Mm-hmm. People like to be around happy people. And they'd be like, you need a job? Right? Are you looking for an opportunity? I would love to work with you. So then it's like, you allowed to work for me? Well, I got a job. They'd be like, but how much? That's how it happens. That's how commerce happens. But if you don't have a number in your mind of how much you're worth, then she say $85,000, they're going to be like this. That's like the $20 lobster.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? The $20 lobster. She said, so once you know who you are and you have your number, and all my clients get a number, the number's outrageous.
The number of what they want.
The number of what their value is.
Mm.
I give them that. I'm like, you're making 150. You should be at 675.
Okay. What are you basing that off of? Because what if the person is making 150 and they're valued at 150? Because the value is what the marketplace is willing to pay the person. Yes?
The value is not based on what the market is, because the market conditions can change. Right? Just like the market value of fish changes based on whatever it is. And if you go to a restaurant, you bougie now. I like you.
I see it change.
Before
you got your eyes away.
But if you were working at Applebee's, was it Applebee's? Or it was Cheesecake Factory
before that was Olive Garden.
Right? Before I was now. And if you see a $20 lobster, you'd be like, cool.
Yeah.
Right? I want it. Now when you go into restaurants, it says market value. If you want the lobster, it doesn't really matter how much it costs. You're not going to be like, come over here, bro. Come over here. Before I tell you what I want, I need to know how much it is. You're going to order it and you're going to see the price at the end. And at the end, you'll be like, I didn't know this charged me $200. But you paid for it because you knew it was a value and you had it. Women don't understand that these corporations have money. They're just not asking. So market value, there is no way to compute market value. It's just how you see yourself.
Is no way to compute market value.
No.
Isn't it based off what someone that price is willing to pay? You put on the internet structural engineer salary.
Or it don't matter. No.
Hold on. Dave, can you get this call? This is the plumber. He's about to come by. So my question is, how do you get somebody to find out where Joe is? How do you get somebody to believe that? Because people who don't believe themselves or don't value themselves, they don't value themselves for a reason. It's probably years of...
Oh, yeah.
How do you get people to break through that?
That's the work.
That is the work.
That's the work. That's the real work. Mm-hmm. One, we help...
Outside.
One, we assist them with getting clear on what they want. Because once you know what you want, now you know what won't get you there. Like Dr. Miles Monroe says.
Hold on. Okay. Once you're clear on what you want, then you're clear on what won't get you there.
Yes.
Okay.
Once you know what you want, like some women will become lawyers. Like I work with a lot of women who their parents, they're first generation immigrants, mm-hmm. right? Some of them are doctors and lawyers, but they're miserable and engineers because that's what their parents wanted them to do. That's not what they want to do. Right? So it's like, what do you want? Not what job you chose out of desperation. not what job you chose out of what will make your family happy. What do you want to do? How do you now want to use your 15 years experience? Some women want to start their own businesses and some women like the job.
Yeah.
I'm cool with either one.
Yeah.
But what do you want? What if we were all placed here, which I believe, right, to be greater for the world? I only work with leaders. Mm-hmm. What does that look like? How much? Should I do it again?
Oh, no. Nah, yeah, just be it. Amen. You just be around. I'm not going to lie to you.
So what is it going to take? What's your number, right? If you want to, you know, one of my clients, it was a small business. Once we got her to the fact of you should earn $50 million so you can now support scholarships. We all have the capacity to be wealthy if you just choose to. So it's not about you. Who's waiting for you to get out of the way so you can go serve them? Once you have that vision, now you know what behaviors won't get you there.
Mm-hmm.
Now you know what people won't get you there. Now you know where your job, the next job fits, because it has to align with where you're going and not just taking a job to stay lateral or linear in your misery. It's like, no, this next opportunity is going to get me here.
Mm. So
that's
this
one.
This is really helpful. So before we set out, we got to figure out what you want.
Yes.
Okay.
What's going to make you happy?
What's going to make you happy?
Yeah.
Do women struggle with that part?
Initially, yes.
Because you don't know what's going to make you happy.
Exactly. So then step two, we have to now remove the obstacles and barriers that are keeping you hostage to your reality. What happened?
Mm.
When did life choke you out? Who did it?
Who did it?
Who did it? What bitterness do you need to let go of? Right? So I've talked to some women, or what I've learned, a pattern with some women whose dads were abusive in the household, abusive to them or to their mom. They don't like conflict. So when conflict pops off at work, leadership is conflict.
Oh, 100%.
When conflict pops off, they're gone. They turn into this orange couch. They melt into the wallpaper because they don't want to be a part of it. Because if something's popping off in the house, they learn how to hide. Because you don't want to be the victim. You don't want to be your dad's next victim. So they learn how to run away and play small or disappear or vanish. Or if their mom had mental health issues growing up, they learn how to walk on eggshells and walk very quiet in conflict. Now you're in a leadership position. Conflict pops off. You're gone. Yeah. Poof. And then you complain that they're talking over you. No, you're not in the room. They don't know they're doing it. And I'd be like, you know you're not in the room, right? They'd be like, right. Wow. So once you become aware of that, now let's insert new action to create new result. So we have to figure out, and my concept, I'm getting trademarked, by the way. What's your default response to trauma? So what's your trauma default? What's your default response to trauma? What's your default response to somebody telling you that you're not smart, right? If somebody grew up with parents who told them that they weren't smart, and if you tell a woman that she's not smart, she will attack you, or she'll play small, or she'll start crying, or something's going to happen.
Whatever her default is.
Whatever her default. So that's her default response. We have to figure out, what are your triggers? There's so much magic in triggers, because whatever is triggering you today was something that happened back in the past. We need to go back and figure out what that is, solve it. Now this current issue goes away. So you're no longer in meetings arguing with your boss or, you know, your coworkers who didn't think that you were smart. And it's not about them. It's about when you were five, like your cousin said something or your uncle said something. That's what you're reacting to. Once we solve for that, now if somebody challenges your intellect, I want to invite you to pick my brain.
Mine too. Mine too.
Yours too?
Mine too.
Yours too. Okay, you guys. We are so excited because we just dropped our newest podcast series called the Brain Picker Podcast. David.
Oh, it's going down. You get to pick our brain. You have a business idea, a concept. You're stuck. You can't get off the ground. You need the advice of seasoned, experienced entrepreneurs. Not only entrepreneurs that are practitioners, but we got a lot of people that we've been coaching all over the last decade.
All over the globe.
They got receipts.
Not just that, you never know where your next investor might be hanging out. And the word on the street is, we got all the connections.
That's a big fact.
We got all the connections. So if you want to sit down with us and pick our brains
in front of our audience,
and we're letting you pick our brains, we won't even talk bad about you for doing it. in front of our audience, bringing your business maximum exposure. Find the link somewhere around here, wherever you see it.
It's there.
And apply.
Right now.
To pick our brain.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Let's get it.
Let's get it.
You really got this down to a science.
That's so good. It's fun.
Why do you choose women, though? Like, no men? You don't help me?
You know, I've got more men promoted than women.
Oh, so you do work with men?
I don't at the moment. God said work with women. I'm hard-headed.
So what do you mean you got more men promoted than women?
So I've been in a game for 20-something years, right? So I was in the military. So yeah. I'm a coach. I'm naturally a coach by nature. So in the military, I mentored a lot of people, white and black, but a lot of the black officers, so some of the senior black officers today, I mentored them directly.
Got it.
It takes years to grow a senior black officer. 13 years ago, I created a mentorship program because we kept complaining that black officers weren't getting promoted to the very senior levels at the same rate of our white counterparts. So I created a mentorship network to be able to connect them and do certain things. It was a lot of work.
Did you reach the senior?
I resigned before that.
Resigned.
But I passed the baton and there were more women who were there than ever.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. So my mentees are there even if I didn't.
Mm.
Yeah.
But you don't work with women right now. I mean, men right now.
I don't. You know, it's, what was it? I worked with men for a while, right? And then God said work with women. I was like, I ain't trying to do that. I don't want to work with women. I don't like women. Right? Because I'm accustomed to being in a white male-dominated work environment. I've gotten men promoted. That's easy for me. The office politics, oh, it's amazing. Go work with women who are just like you. I was like this. I'm not trying to do that. So sometimes destiny and purpose is really about the problem that you solve for. People aren't talking to women. Women, high-achieving women, successful women are dying, committing suicide because they don't see a way out. I'm now the person who can come and tell my story without sounding weak because I ain't no punk. You know, to be able to say, look, you need to stop and take care of yourself. One, you'll become whole, you'll become happy, but then let's get to the next level in the money. So part of me being disobedient, I didn't want to tell my story because I said it was about me. And I didn't want to talk about my fall down, my breakdown, my challenges. I just wanted to talk about the good stuff. God was like, no, come over here. And so when I didn't do it for 3 years, I didn't make any money.
Wow.
I mean, like no money. I mean, like my money would touch, boop, and then it'd go back over here. but once I put women's leadership success coach in front of my name, the next day I got like a $5,000 keynote. A year and a half later, I took it off. And then for 3 months, I didn't have no new money. All the money that I was getting over those months were for like existing stuff. And I was like, what did I do? Like, what are the money? And I said, oh, I removed women's. The next day, I did it again. Boom, women's, 10,000.
Wow.
So Mike Murdoch talks about, he said, sometimes God will use provision as a motivation to get into alignment with the law of obedience.
Say it one more time. I need it to, I want it to sink in.
Sometimes God will use provision as a motivator to get into alignment with the law of obedience.
Explain the provision part.
Money. Provision. Some people work for a check. People who are with purpose work for provision. You do what you love and you do your passion and the money chase you. We don't chase money. Money chases you down once you're operating in the gifting and the thing that you were called to do. And the more you do it and the more you love it, the more the money flows.
Right. Give me your breaking point. Is there a point, do you remember like your lowest point, your rock bottom moment? Because there's somebody here which they feel like they're, they've hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
Heck do you do about that? Like, do you remember that moment for you or one of the moments?
Is it rock bottom mentally or financially?
You've had both.
Oh, yes.
Give me mentally first.
You know, I remember.
Or emotionally.
I've had a lot, but I would say the bottom fell out. I would say my light bulb came on and then the bottom fell out because this is what happens. So I was, you know, at a conference, right? Talking, because that's what I do. Because I'm well decorated. I'm Chrissy Rutherford. Mm. And I remember this this guy who was one level above me accused me of wearing my uniform to show off my medals. Right? Which I was. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like,
he said it to you, or?
He said it in my face.
Gotcha.
So the first day we're in class, because I worked on Capitol Hill with the late, great Elijah Cummings, as the investigative committee of my service, which is insane because right. you pull back the curtain of Oz and you see why we have all these problems. So I did that for 3 years. So now I'm at a conference with all my peers and they were blaming Congress for this. And I'm like, no, that's us. You know, and they were blaming this for whatever. And I was like, no, because I've seen behind the curtain. It's this. And they were kept looking around like, who is this chick? Because I'm the only sister in the room, right? And I'm brilliant and I'm decorated. Actually, they ain't seen that part yet. They just saw my ring. So the next day I wore the uniform to show them exactly who I was.
Oh, so it was like a 2-day thing. You went one day as Chrissy, then the next day you wore your ring.
I came to show them who I was, right? And he accused me of wearing my uniform to show off my medals, which I did.
Yeah.
To show you who you talking to because you don't respect me. But I was looking for their respect and validation because I didn't respect and validate myself.
Mm.
That's the problem.
Is something wrong with that, wearing your...
No. 8 other people had the same uniform on.
Yeah.
Right? But when he said that, it made me stop to realize, my God, he's right. And now I'm like, oh my God. I thought that when you told me I didn't belong in my face at boot camp and officer school, I wouldn't make it. I thought that if I worked 80 hours a week, got 4 degrees, you know, burned through my childbearing years and did all these things and became 5 times better, that you would accept me. And now you're saying, you stop saying you don't belong. Now you say, who do you think you are? So you never gave me my gold star. And then I'm like, but he's never going to give it to me. That's not his job. I had to sit down. Like, my head was swirling of, I have blown 16 years of my life chasing validation from people that were never responsible for giving it to me anyway. That was my job.
Yeah.
I lost sight of that. And that's what a lot of women are doing in the workplace.
Wow.
So that was the beginning of the unraveling to me resigning.
Got it.
Yeah.
So financially, your worst.
Ooh.
And what happened?
So when I left, first of all, it makes for a much better story though. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
With 3.5 years left to retire with a full pension. I would have retired in 2016. I left. It took about a year for me to crack up. Because I was still chasing money. I wasn't dealing with my mindset. And I always tell women, do not leave your good job for entrepreneurship, because I have 2% brain capacity. Entrepreneurship requires 120%.
Oh, for sure.
So I didn't know. It's almost like being an empty Coke can. I'm going to go be an entrepreneur. The brick was like, smash. Does that make sense? Because I never focused on myself first. I'm a winner. I'm going to kill it. I'm not acknowledging that I'm empty. So I moved in with my brother for 3.5 years. God said, you're going to be rich. I said, great. It's going to take me 2 weeks.
Mm.
And once I'm going to get rich selling coffee in 2 weeks, right? Napoleon Hill has a quote where he says, if I had the courage to look in the mirror and see myself as I truly am, then I will find out what is wrong with me and fix it, as opposed to building alibis to cover my misfortunes.
Mm-hmm.
If I had the courage to look in the mirror and see myself as I truly am, not who I'm pretending to be, not who I'm flossing. It takes courage to look in the mirror and be like this. You know you're crazy, right? You know what I'm saying, right? So I ended up moving in with my brother. It took 3.5 years for me to get my brain. I mean, when I say it took a year, I slept for a year. Because I didn't realize how much damage I had done to myself mentally by chasing the achievements and the validation of other people, and lost it for myself.
Wow.
So I created this situation. It wasn't them. And that's a whole series of events that happened before I left, but it was me.
Yeah.
So I'm in my brother's house, no money. yeah, I used to be bougie. I mm-hmm. was a six-figure earner, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm Christy Rutherford. I'm the great Christy Rutherford officer. I had no money for 3.5 years. Like, if you launched a book on Amazon for 99 cents, I would try to get it to support you. Amazon would be like this. Yeah, you ain't got that.
It was bad.
It was no money, but the business, and I launched a business. I'm working 16 hours a day, like, mm-hmm. to get out of my brother's house because I have all these ideas, and it's great. But my job during that time was to heal so I can be a beacon of light to women to be like, I know where you are.
Yeah.
I know what crazy looks like. I looked at her in the mirror every day. Mm-hmm. I know what you about to burn out sounds like because I burned out. Mm-hmm. I know what you being on the ledge. I tell women, you know, you about 2 weeks from a stroke. Because I'm lucky I didn't die. Does that make sense? Like,
for sure.
I'll tell women, you know, you got about a month before you have a nervous breakdown. Something's going to happen to you in 3 weeks. I don't know what it is. And because I can hear the alarm ringing and I can feel the energy because I did it. Mm. So I would say financially, that was the worst part.
You take on the burden. Like, your job is for people to come with their problems.
Yep.
You listen to them. You bear them. And you help. Which I would imagine is one, somewhat destructive to you, mm-hmm. and two, can maybe get heavy. Mm-hmm. No?
So it's two parts, right? One is my mission.
Mm-hmm.
I do work with some energy healers, keep my energy clean.
Okay.
But when I listen, like, some people absorb the problems of other people. I'm gathering data to try to figure out. So my career, I was a pollution incident responder. Right? The person who managed the people go out. So if a ship runs into a bridge and then oil starts coming out, which happens all the time, oil starts coming out, people are on the beach trying to save the ducks. Right. Other people are worried about the water. Other people are worried about the marshlands. We're trying to figure out what's the source of the oil. One of the jobs that I had was when the ship hit the bridge, I now have to take all the details out. Where is it? Right? What is the capacity for it? Where are y'all going? Who's on board? What are the, you know, the environmentally sensitive areas? Do you have ducks in the land? What are the beaches that are nearby? Blah, blah, blah. So I would take 100 details all out. Then I have to bring it down into a collapsible picture. Now I have to create a 3-minute brief to now call my bosses and say, hey, this is the scenario in a 3-minute snapshot.
Oh, wow.
So when I listen to women talk about their lives, I'm doing the same thing. I'm listening to the 100 details of, like, oh, your childhood. Okay, your dad did this. Your mama said this. They mama said this. Does that make sense? Mm. And then this happened. Okay, and then this happened in your job. So all I'm doing is I'm taking all that information and I'm collapsing it. And then a 3-minute snapshot. And now I'm going to read it back to you. I'll be like, this, is this your problem? And they'd be like, my God, I didn't know I was doing that. And I'd be like, but now do you want to fix it? Because the money is on the other side of this.
Yeah. Mm. So it doesn't get heavy. It doesn't. I coached, man, and I did one-on-one coaching. People bring you all their problems.
Yeah.
And then you leave the call thinking, like, goodness gracious, this is. You keep thinking about them and the person. Obviously, you want to help them, but it's like it doesn't get heavy sometimes.
I would say it used to. But I have coaches too.
We got you.
So I have a team. So I've scaled. But we also do some energy work, but I don't carry their burdens. I'm trying to solve the problem. I'm not just listening to absorb.
Gotcha.
I'm taking all the data and then I'm gonna be like, is this it?
Yeah.
And a lot of the women that I work with, they want to change. Some people don't want to change.
Yeah.
You know, some people don't want to be greater. Some women don't want to be better than where they are right now. Mm. Those are not my clients.
Gotcha.
So when I work with high achieving women, one, because I love it. Two, because once you turn that light bulb on, oh, it's game over.
Yeah.
They have invisible barriers that are holding them back. They have invisible walls that they keep running into. Once you illuminate the wall, they've already proven that they're going to run through walls if you just show them what it is. They just don't know what's holding them back. They don't know that they're disappearing in the room. They don't know that, you know, they're getting triggered and they're getting nasty with people because somebody questioned their intellect because it was done back in the day. Once you show them that, they'll take action.
Wow.
80% of them do.
One more question I have to ask. First off, let me do a commercial real quick because I got to pay some bills. I'm going to come back, ask a question. Then you're going to close us out with something strong. Okay. All right, cool. So this episode is sponsored by The Morning Meetup, themorningmeetup.com, the only organization that gathers every single day. Entrepreneurs are without community for the most part. And what we do is we provide community. You will jump on a Zoom call every day with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of entrepreneurs. Am I lying?
Mm-hmm.
Hundreds of entrepreneurs every single you spoke.
Yeah, it's like 600 people on the line.
It's real. We be up every day, Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So, yes, go to themorningmeetup.com and join our community and send me a text message, 404-737-4935. 404-737-4935. Send me a text message. I'd love to talk to you. Last question. Where do you see yourself in the next 5 years? Because I want to be able to look at this video 5 years from today and say, Christy told me that 5 years ago she'd be doing this. And look, she's doing it.
Yeah. I mean, I know what it is.
Talk to me.
I don't know if y'all ready.
We ready.
So, global stages, right? Stadiums, talking to women. Sort of like what you know, Joyce Meyer can be in an arena with 80,000 women. Talking about what she does. Mm. So, you know, doing that. Having 20 coaches on my team. I actually wrote the 5-year vision down. So my goal is to build a school in my hometown because that's the only way I can guarantee my family makes it out. I have to own a school so they're not talked to sideways. I want to own 3 in my town and then the neighboring cities. An international learning and development center where kids can go to college online. They'll have guidance counselors there. And then they'll be able to learn how to code, Forex, trade, work on the solar panels if you want to do some welding or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I want to own 3 of those. That's my goal, to get rich. And then I want to build 20 in the next 20 years.
That's dope.
Right? But we've, instead of doing, my goal is to do $1 billion in raises for 10,000 women by 2025.
Jeez.
But my real goal is, okay, my women actually got $2 billion in raises. Mm. So that's a part of the vision statement that I write down. 20 coaches. We coach all these women. We make all this money. I write a $20 million check to South Carolina State, $20 million check to the Napoleon Hill Foundation, and a $20 million check to the I Believe Foundation, David M. Nittier.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So the goal is to be able to do the work that I love, be passionate about. I have a jet. I have 4 houses, 8 cars.
Come on.
A TV show.
Yes, sir. I love it. Lit. Okay. 5 years. The clock has started. So 5 years.
Yeah. 2026. That's by 2026. I wrote that last year.
Done. It's done. Scale of 1 to 5. 5, I 100% believe it. Number 1, it could happen.
No, it's a 5.
All day.
I can see it.
I love that. I love that for you. Yeah. Listen, man, make sure you follow Christy Rutherford, okay? We'll have her Instagram here. Well, first off, I want to say thank you because I think there's a lot of women that got set free today.
Yes.
You know, it's been an hour.
That went by fast.
And like just, and I'm just so engulfed in how do me, obviously you were talking more women, but like, I'm like, yo, there are some things that are keeping me from the next level. Not because the next level isn't there. Not because I don't have the ability to get there. Mm-hmm. But there are some things about my character. Mm-hmm. There's some things about my mindset and my lifestyle that needs to change for me to get there.
We're rolling out a men's program as well.
Okay.
Well, I mean, so the men, that's the evolution of the program. I had to get this one solid first.
Mm-hmm.
But we're rolling out a men's program as well. Yeah. And then I do work with small business owners. Gotcha. So I got one of my clients, $125,000 in 6 weeks.
Dang.
In her small business.
You know what you're doing, huh? I love it. Chris, thank you so much, man. Please let everybody know how to find you, how they can work with you, and just close us out with a word of wisdom.
Yep. You can get my free case study at changenowwithchrissy.com, or you can text meetup or you want to do the David Shins between
Social Proof.
Social Proof. You can text Social Proof to 66866. And then you can get my free case study. I also have a private community, Total Fulfillment with Christy, tfwchristy.com. Yeah.
And then close us out with a word. Take us home. Put a whole bow in this conversation.
You know, I always tell women, you know, you don't have to look for love. You are love. You don't have to look for peace. You are peace. You don't have to look for joy. You are joy. You don't have to look for happiness or wholeness. You already have these things. The goal is just to figure out, where did you leave them? How did you forget? Because once you remember who you are, once you remember that you're a queen and you put your crown back on, you'll be a queen bee and stop being a worker bee so you can live the life that you truly desire.
There it is. Can't close out no better than that. Listen, follow Christy right now, okay? Then go to her website. There'll probably be some links below. You can click and rock with her, okay? And go get you some social proof, okay? Go build something, but then come back to your community and teach them how you did it. All right, we are out of here. Peace.